Hey, Justin, you want to watch a movie?
Yeah, sure. What you got?
What do you think about,
No, I saw it last week.
Oh, what about,
Not again.
Oh. How about this?
Wait. You want me to watch what?
So what did you think of The Private Eyes? I'll take that as a positive.
It is, yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead.
All right. For those of you joining us, welcome, welcome, welcome. This is You Want Me to Watch What? The podcast where Justin and I, who've been friends for over 10 years now.
Plus.
14 at least.
At least.
14 years. We suggest movies to each other that the other hasn't seen, and we just watch them together and talk about it for a little bit and invite you to join in and
on the aftermath
and listen in. So welcome, welcome, welcome. This month, for those of you who didn't notice the title card, we watched the 1980 American comedy mystery film, The Private Eyes, starring Tim Conway and Don Knotts as Scotland Yard.
Yeah.
So the film opens at this like English country mansion, you know, one of those 250 plus rooms.
Yeah, it's
kind of joints with Lord.
It's cozy, but it's ours.
With Lord and Lady Morley getting ready to go to dinner. And Lady Morley is being quite snippy with Lord Morley. And so he forgets his cigars. He goes in to get them. And she is killed, strangled with some kind of scarf.
Yes.
He gets into the car and he's hit in the back of the head. And the killer gets out of the back seat and drives the car basically into the river, the pond, the lake.
The lagoon.
Lagoon. Yeah. The water.
The water, yes.
Shift over to Inspector Winship and Dr. Tart, Knotts and Conway, two American detectives who've been transferred to Scotland Yard because of problems in the United States due to Tim Conway's Dr. Tart inventing the alarm clock gun.
The time gun.
The time gun.
Which, when
it goes off every hour.
Yeah. When they first said, you got the time gun, my first thought is, this took a sci-fi turn. Okay.
Yes. So, they have been sent to the Morley Manor to investigate the murder. Specifically, they've been asked by the victim to investigate his own murder.
Yeah.
And so the two investigate the murder. The staff, which we're going to get into in just a second, but there's the adopted daughter, Phyllis Morley, and she's the one who gets all the stuff. She gets everything, and if she dies, then it's divided equally among the staff. Remember, we say this many, many times because we watch older movies. We judge the movies based on the time they were made.
Yes.
Acknowledging the unhelpful stereotypes and improper motivations today.
Yes. If we were to watch a 2021 or 2022 movie and go over it and there were problems, we would bash it about the head and shoulders.
We would happily rake it across the coals.
Yes.
So that being said, the staff is made up of a samurai,
yes,
hunchback, a busty maid, and I'm going to use the word that they use, a gypsy.
Yes.
And an insane butler. And then the crazy lady, nanny.
Yeah.
You know, that looks like she's straight out of a Tim Burton claymation.
Yes. And just the groundskeeper, the quote gypsy.
Right.
Looked an awful lot like Mick Fleetwood from Fleetwood Mac. So I'm like, no, it's not. It's not.
It's
but
not
I'm just
him.
Like, wait a minute.
So the two detectives, well, the detective and the doctor are investigating, the servants start being killed.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as they go and try to find somebody to show them, the bodies disappear.
There are also notes.
Often there being poems and notes that I don't have any of them memorized.
No, but they all rhyme except for the very last line.
The very last line just doesn't, you know. He'll be no more. If you want to be safe, make sure you lock all your screens.
Yes.
Screens and windows. And it's like, what?
Yep.
So this happened over and over again. You know, it's all seven servants eventually mm-hmm. killed. Until there's no one left but Phyllis and some shadowy figure yes. that has been using secret passages through this giant mansion.
Mm-hmm.
And so they go to get her to protect her because there's this shadowy figure. And she confesses that she killed Lord and Lady Morley. But they're like, but we saw another killer.
Yep.
Well, that other killer shows up. And she's confessed, and turns out the shadowy killer is Lord Morley.
Yeah, and all throughout the movie, they've been saying, well, he was talking about a way of coming back from the dead.
And at the very beginning, the argument that he had with his wife had to do with poor ward choices.
Yes.
You know, and so it all points to him. It's fine. There's only one real jump scare in the whole thing when they go to investigate his grave.
Yeah.
You know, but basically, Lord Morley had escaped the car crash and gathered the staff to gain their help to get Phyllis to confess. And, you know, it happened. And so they just needed a member of Scotland Yard there in order to basically receive the confession so that everything could go on. And then they're gifted with a sarcophagus inside of which there is a Wugalar. Wugalar.
Yes.
Which is an inside joke that we're never let in on throughout the whole movie.
Yep.
But Tim Conway's character talks about the Wukalars, you know, that eat raw chickens and they suck out brains and so on and so forth. And then at the very end is like, you know, they should put us on the Wukalar case now. And there are no Wukalars. Turns out there's one in the sarcophagus.
Yeah, there's at least one.
We are talking, this is a 90-minute movie.
Mm-hmm.
I have just given you absolutely everything there is about it, and we've only been talking for a few minutes. So tell me what did you think? I mean, this is 1980 mystery comedy.
Yeah. This, to me, was a combination of Haunted Honeymoon.
Okay.
And The Pink Panther.
Okay. So something good, something not so good. Got it.
Well, not the Pink Panther. But
Panther's the good one of those. Oh. Haunted Honeymoon's not nearly so funny.
I like that one.
You can like it. That's fine. But of the two, you got to admit, the Pink Panther movies are vastly superior.
Okay. You put Inspector Clouseau in a Haunted Honeymoon kind of scenario.
Fine.
That's where I'm going with this.
Okay.
An inept detective in a quote-unquote haunted house with mm-hmm. secret passages and people being killed and trying to deal with that. It is not high comedy. It is not something that you're going to sit there and ponder and then, oh, I see what they did there. It's slapstick.
It very much so.
It is very much slapstick. And what was fun to watch was the repertoire between Don Knotts and Tim Conway. Because Knotts plays the straight man in this.
Yeah.
When you're used to seeing him, when you say Don Knotts, the first thing that comes to everybody's mind is Barney Fife, where he's the comedy to Andy Griffith's straight man.
Mm-hmm.
But Knotts plays a great stone-faced straight man.
That was the original plan.
Yeah.
For Andy Griffith, the original plan was that he was going to be the serious one and Andy would be the comic.
I don't like that.
Well, nobody did.
Yeah.
That was the thing when Don Knotts came in and he played his character straight,
uh-huh.
but accentuated.
Yeah.
you know, it became you had two comics and you couldn't do that.
Yeah.
It just made more sense for Andy to be the slightly laid back, calm one.
Yeah. So you've got Tim Conway being Tim Conway.
Straight out of Carol Burnett.
Absolutely.
I wonder how many lines they actually gave him and how many he just took.
It's like, okay, they did a take, and then he probably was like, okay, hey, I want to do this time. And then did another take.
Yeah.
Because I think in the Carol Burnett show, they would do one, and then they would just let him run wild.
Yeah. It is it's a very good representation of the way the two of them did comedy.
Yes.
If you like the Apple Dumpling Gang, you know, they're basically the same characters, just slightly more grown up.
Yeah.
And by slightly, I mean like by a year.
Yeah.
You know, but same keel where Tim Conway's the comic and Don Knotts the straight man.
I forget that they did those movies together. It's just, I don't think about them.
Well, and that's... Those were the ones I grew up on. I didn't see Barney Fife. I didn't see Andy Griffith Show until later in life.
Yeah.
You know, I was high school or older.
See, I grew up watching Don Knotts in, like, Mr. Limpet, The Incredible Mr. Limpet, and The Ghost in Mr. Chicken, and Andy Griffith. And I grew up watching Tim Conway on The Carol Burnett Show.
Okay.
And,
Didn't he do the Dorf movies, too?
Yes, Dorf on Golf. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So those... I'd never seen them together until much later in life.
Okay.
So.
Kind of like the Fierce Creatures versus A Fish Called Wanda. What you see them in first is kind of what you're attached to.
Exactly. Not saying the other one is bad.
Just.
But you have more of a connection with the.
I connected with Apple Dumpling Gang because I watched it when I was like 8.
Yeah.
You know, 8 and 9 years old. And probably the same for you with watching, like, Incredible Mr. Limpet. You know, I didn't watch that until I was probably in high school.
Yeah.
Not that it wasn't around. It just
was. Yeah.
It was one of those things that got skipped.
Yes.
Thanks, Mom, for introducing me to those things. Yeah. Anyway, there's not a lot of big names in this.
No.
Really, the two of them are about the biggest names.
That's pretty much it. There are a couple of...
Now, character actors.
Yeah. The butler, Justin.
Yeah. Played by Bernard Fox.
Yes. He's been... I recognized him immediately. I couldn't have told you what his name is or what I've seen him in, but it's one of those, I know that face.
He was Dr. Bombay in Bewitched.
Oh, kind of thing.
And he was Colonel Crittenden in Hogan's Heroes.
Yes.
So... He was also in Andy Griffith's show.
Yeah.
You know, Malcolm Merriweather.
Yeah. See, I grew up watching a lot of Nick at Night when I would go stay with my grandparents.
Yeah.
And we're talking Nick at Night in the late 80s, early 90s, you know. I have clear memories of Nickelodeon going until like 8 p.m. And then it would switch over to
the
old stuff and the reruns. But I'd still watch it because that's what they wanted to watch.
My grandfather once recorded a full 6-hour VHS tape of Nick at Night when they were doing original episodes. So not original, like, you know, brand new kind of things, but like the first episode of Mork and Mindy.
Oh, the pilots.
Pilots.
Okay.
Thank you. The first episode of F Troop, the first episode of, you know what I mean? Just these first episodes of things. And so... Because we didn't have cable or satellite.
Yeah.
And so that was how we got, you know, that's how I got exposed to those
things. And my grandparents kind of did the same thing, but they would record like during the day stuff for me. So I had like, and they recorded it on slow speed. So I had like 8 hours on a tape and it included the Monkees and a bunch of other weird stuff that was on Nickelodeon in the mid 80s.
Okay.
It's watching these two guys in a movie like this was very much a nostalgic factor, even though I'd never seen this before. It's like, I've seen these two, and this is fun watching these two.
Yeah. And I like the type of comedy where everyone's treating it seriously for the most part.
Yeah.
You know, because Don Knotts' character is treating the whole thing seriously. It's just he's a comic.
Yes.
And the same with Tim Conway. It's like everyone's treating it as though this is all very, you know, realistic and expected behavior of everyone around them.
Yes.
And it's only through their overreactions that things go. I like that more than the wink and nod kind of comedy. That has its place. One of my favorite stage musicals is nothing but winks and nods to the audience. It's called Something Rotten, and it's like Shakespeare and musical theater just mushed together. And the more you know about both of those things, the more jokes you get. And so it's just built in.
Yeah.
But something like this reminds me very much of the 60s Batman series.
Yes.
You know, it is ridiculous what's going on, but everyone's treating it seriously. You know, it is this ironic sense of humor.
Yeah. While we were watching it, I asked you if this was a theatrical release or a made-for-TV kind of thing, because it does. Maybe it's just the way I perceived it, having watched these two on the small screen more than anything. But this just had a feel of a made-for-TV thing, and it almost felt like there were commercial breaks built in. Like occasionally, it would fade to black and then fade back in, and that's where like a commercial should go.
It felt that way also in part because we're watching it on the standard view pan and scan.
Well, yes.
It was filmed in 1.85:1. I just don't have the widescreen version of it.
Okay, and that may have helped.
That would have helped a lot.
But I know that's also a style that was used back, you know, back in the day. But it just had that feel.
Well, and we remember 1980 is really still the 70s.
This is true.
Yeah, this is still looking at like a 1976 style of filmmaking.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, that kind of stuff. This was the last pairing for Conway and Knotts. This is the last time they show, with the exception of a cameo that the two of them made in Cannonball Run 2, a movie that you and I are probably not going to watch together. Where they played a couple of patrol officers, like California Highway Patrol officers.
Okay.
We might watch the YouTube version.
Okay, fair.
But fair. Cannonball Run 2 is not, it's not worth watching.
Fair enough.
But we've got so far off topic on this. I get it. I understand. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. It's funny. But it's super light.
It is. It is absolutely super light. You don't need to pay super close attention to it.
No. The only reason to pay attention is there's a couple of the gags that are sight gags or that are like the facial expression gags that happen real fast. When when the buxom maid is, you know, doing something or another, talking to them, and they're just kind of, you see Tim Conway's eye kind of go crossed, you know, and it's just it's a little sight gag that 2 seconds is all it lasts.
Yeah.
If you're watching, it's like, I got it. I caught it. It's not laugh out loud, but it's,
A while back in that other podcast we do, hi Darren.
Oh, yeah.
You invented a new rating category.
Oh, right.
A laundry movie. To me, this is that kind of movie.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to pay super close attention. If you got 7 loads of laundry to do, pop it on. It'll keep you entertained while you're folding towels and other things.
Mm-hmm.
It's not super intensive. Or if you don't have any laundry to do and you just want to chill out with something on, just throw it on, you know.
It's the kind of movie that if you have to do some light reading, it's like, oh, I better check what's going on at the school, you know, or a newsletter for a thing that, you know, and you could do that while watching this.
You can.
You're not going to miss much.
No.
It doesn't take your whole brain to watch this movie.
No, it's not a bad movie. It's a good movie. It is worth watching, especially if you enjoy, slapstick and, you know, 70s kind of comedy kind of thing. It is well worth your time. I enjoyed it.
Excellent. I liked it too. And I think people should watch it if you can get a hold of it. So it's not super popular, so it's a little bit, a little bit difficult to find. But cool beans.